Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9 days away, we'll finally get there. The NFL draft is the conversation. It has been for us in D.C. for months now. Lance Zierlein has done this for a while at NFL Network, NFL.com. He's also a radio host in Houston. Follow Lance. We've had him on the show before, at Lance Zierlein on X on Twitter. He joins us now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So you wrote in your most recent mock, I try to lock in my mock process by venturing into each general manager's headspace and hypothesizing what the thinking could be relative to draft capital needs and the board in general, scouring draft history, potential clues, positions the organization prioritizes, etc. How do you handle it for Washington? Whole new group, whole new regime. Do you go back and look at what Adam Peters did in San Francisco for some guidance?
Well, first of all, my editor must have made me look smart when I heard some of the words that were in the bio and the intro there. And the second thing is, yeah, you always go back and see the organization of influence. And when it comes to organization of influence, you're going to, you know, look at the way he learned under John Lynch and see the way he, you know, learned under Kyle Shanahan. So you want to take a look at how they prioritize, because typically that particular team of all the teams, they are very set in what types of players. You know, defensively, they look for players like Chase Young, for example. Big, long, good lean mass. You can see that along the front defensively. Offensively, things have changed a little bit under Kyle Shanahan, so it's not as easy to just put them in nice, neat categories as it was when you looked at outside zone teams. And, of course, having Cliff Kingsbury there, you know, that's a little bit of a – I'm not sure from a quarterback standpoint you can do anything with what Adam Peters did. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is going to know his quarterback. So I kind of look, when it comes to quarterback, I've tried to piece together what Kingsbury has had, which is Johnny Manziel, who was a dual-threat quarterback at you know, that he had success with at Texas A&M. Then I went to Kyler Murray, who he basically handpicked – as his quarterback when he was taking over as Arizona. So I look at those two, you know, I look at those two players and I see, okay, these guys had the ability to scramble. I believe he was there with Pat Mahomes,
yeah,
who also was his quarterback. So you're seeing a bunch of guys who have the ability to move, to maneuver, to you can call them dual threat quarterbacks if you want. You can call them mobile quarterbacks. But the ability to move and scramble is pretty important. And both of those guys that I talked about, all three of them can hurt you with their legs. Well, then that, you know, that's one of the reasons that I was probably the first one to have, because I never, after I watch a tape, I'm like, why are people saying Drake May is quarterback two? This doesn't make any sense off the tape. And it's just a narrative that had built up that hadn't been pushed back against. So I put Jaden Daniels there, and I'm sticking with it because I think that will make some sense for Cliff Kingsbury. Now, once we get past the first pick and you have all this draft capital for Washington, and I think they are likely to be very aggressive this year with that capital, I'm going to start looking at the way that San Francisco drafted. Unless Adam Peters shows us a different mode that he's willing to operate under, I'm going to look for, you know, length at cornerback. I'm going to look for wide receivers who have run after catch ability, because that's what that's what you know, that's a direction that Kyle Shanahan started to go in, is with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuels. He started saying, wait a minute, I want guys who can run after catch. And that's not exactly the way his dad or Gary Kubiak drew it up, but Kyle has evolved with the position. So, yeah, you do have to go back and look at how San Francisco's drafted, and then Adam Peters, you know, his philosophy will eventually show itself within the first 2 years.
Yeah, that's interesting, because one of the things that they both said, both Peters and Quinn, when they were hired, is that they are aligned in vision on the type of player traits that they look for, you know, mm-hmm. and they, you know, the player traits in San Francisco, the Debos, the Kittles, the guys that are basically impossible to tackle, you know, after they have the ball in their hands. So to look for guys like that makes a lot of sense. But let's focus on the Daniels mock at two. So you said something that I want you to go into a little bit in depth. Do you think Daniels is the number two quarterback in this draft, or do you have him close to Caleb Williams?
Well, I've got him very close to Caleb Williams. I think it's basically neck and neck. I was really disappointed with Caleb's tape, if I'm being honest. When I turned the tape on, I was expecting to see this generational player, because that was being used, and he's not generational. When you watch tape, it's just a term people throw around all the time, and it's easy when you just sit there and you spout out hyperboles and everyone hits like on your posts, or you get the attention from the national media, or the national media saying it, and the listeners and viewers get all excited. When you actually turn on the tape and you do it for a living, and you got to win or lose and get fired for your assessments if you're an NFL team, hyperbole goes out the door. They don't have any room for hyperbole. And so when you watch Caleb Williams, you see all the talent. You see the arm talent. You see the ability to extend and make special plays. You see the big flashes. But you also see hanging on to the football forever. You see too much hero ball. And I could also say I saw some of that with, you know, with Pat Mahomes when he was coming out. He didn't have a whole lot to work with. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, I don't think it was great shakes of what Caleb Williams worked with this year. I think maybe the wide receivers are a little overrated and the offensive line wasn't very good. But I think that his ability to – his desire to win on every single play with a big play, you just can't – you can't survive that way in the NFL. So I think that's something he's got to get away from. You look at Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels now – here's the difference. It took Jaden Daniels 5 years to get to this point. Jaden Daniels has been a five-year starter. Jaden Daniels is more thin-framed, which is going to be a concern, especially because he's a runner, and especially because he's a runner that doesn't slide great. And I'm sure you're from that area, so you know all about RG3's issues with the same thing. And there are some similarities between he and RG3, only I think, you know, Jaden is maybe a little more complete passer. But RG3 was very talented coming out. What really shined for me with Jaden Daniels is his ability to work against zones. He made anticipatory throws in the middle of, you know, in the middle of zone patches. He worked with confidence getting through his progressions. I think he was a full field reader, had two excellent wide receivers, without question. That certainly helped him. But I also thought he played within the structure of the offense. You want to see him sit tight a little longer, maybe, as opposed to, or at least sometime when he breaks pocket, you wouldn't mind him, you know, maybe extending with his legs behind the line of scrimmage, looking to hurt people with his arm, because, you know, it's hard to make a living running as much as he did in college. Even when you're talented, eventually it'll catch up with you. But to be sure, on tape, without question, and this, I don't know anyone in the NFL that would disagree, on tape, the better tape this year was Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams.
And you think the tape much better than the other guys being talked about, possibly at two, Drake May and J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think with McCarthy, it's incomplete. You know, I think McCarthy's a sneaky one at two. I think you really got to keep an eye on him, because he's got that same level of mobility. I know teams just rave about the intangibles. He's one that I would keep an eye on as a sneaky one. With Drake May, you have to sit him for a year. I don't think it's smart to play him right away. I just, for Drake, there's a little bit too much high ceiling, low floor for me. So I like Drake May's potential. I love the traits. But, man, he just threw rockets for every throw is 100 miles an hour. Had trouble putting the ball in with good placement on you know, basic crossing routes. He didn't throw it with good touch. I just think there's still some football that needs to be played for Drake May. And some people look at that and use it as a positive, and they say, hey, he's only 21. You know, Jaden Daniels is 23. And, you know, this guy, geez, Drake's got a lot better. He's still going to get a lot better. But the reality of the NFL is if you don't do it within 2 years, you know, you're kind of stuck. Yeah. And I don't know if he can get where he needs to in 2 years unless ownership is really patient and they do a good job of drafting around him.
We are talking to Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, the NFL Network. And I promise you, I didn't put Lance on here because everything he said I agree with. Been accused of putting only people on the air that like Jaden Daniels. That's not true. We had some people that liked Drake May on last week. But so I'm with you on everything. I don't know how anybody just watched college football this year and didn't see that Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback and the best player in college football this year. The one thing that I would push back on just a bit is, yes, he's got that RG3 speed, but he got vision as a runner. RG3 was a straight line, couldn't see what was coming around him, pocket or out on the loose. I think they're far different players. But I wanted to ask you specifically about what you know intangibles-wise. You mentioned, you know, McCarthy's are off the charts. What are you hearing about what people say about Daniels and his intangibles?
Solid in interviews. I think that they like his football intelligence, like the leadership that he gets along great with teammates, like the way that he vibes with his teammates, and he's a guy who is going to be well-liked in the locker room, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. I know that a team that I talked to who needs quarterback was not really impressed with any of the quarterbacks that much, didn't think there was a lot of juice for any of them. Not that they really, you know, wanted to see. So that's just, you know, that's kind of a personality thing, and everyone's kind of different where, as far as that's concerned. So I don't read too much into that one. But I do think there is, you know, it's kind of the Alabama situation where you come out of Alabama like Tua and you've got all these Corvettes around you, and then you have to go play in the league. And unless you have those same Corvette advantages, it's a little tougher. Well, he's going to go in with Washington, and right off the bat, he's going to play in a division that's a pretty competitive division, and he's going to have wide receivers that are not going to have the strong advantages like LSU had. So that's always a little bit of a you know, an unknown variable. It's how do you respond when your skill position players aren't better than the guys who are across from them? They may be, they may be, and I do think Washington will be aggressive, potentially moving back up for either, you know, wide receiver or offensive tackle with the draft capital. But, yeah. You know, how will he handle having an offensive line that needs to get a lot better in pass protection? These are things that Bryce Young didn't like any of those things too much last year.
Right. What do you think of the fit with Cliff Kingsbury if they go Daniels?
Well, I mean, I like it. Look,
I mean, you talked about Manziel and the different quarterbacks he's had. He's used to quarterbacks, but offensively, what kind? Because we're unfamiliar with what they'll end up running offensively. He pushed back on the whole air raid thing and said, you know, that's years ago.
It's true. I mean, he didn't run true air raid stuff. A lot of air raid coaches will tell you because of the splits in the NFL, you don't have the same You don't have the same spacing to utilize the advantages that you have in college. So, yeah, I think the air raid thing, there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some passing concepts and some route combinations that he uses. That's all fine and good. I do think that his experience, although not a successful one with Arizona, was a valuable one because it was a real good taste of what will and won't work in pro football. And so now we have to see if he's been able to learn from that. And I think, you know, what is it that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want? Honestly, that's kind of a hard question for the same reason that you talked about. You know, I think he knows you have to have mobility at quarterback now. But once you get past that, one of the reasons I feel comfortable putting Jaden Daniels there is because he's got touch to all three. His I think his ball placement's good enough. I think he's got touches to all three levels of the field. And so being able to explore the field short, medium, deep, and then to get out of the pocket and make things happen, I saw him be able to get through progressions. A lot of times with air raid stuff, you have to, you know, make your pre-snap reads and your decisions of where you're going with the football. Well, that doesn't work in the NFL. So I don't know what Cliff has built into the system. I don't know how he changes the way he works with quarterbacks to really engage with the way defenses are played on the pro level. But clearly his time with Kyler Murray, and Kyler was not always easy to coach, obviously. Very difficult to coach. So I think having somebody who's a little more receptive is going to be great for Cliff. And, you know, it also may be good for Cliff just to focus in on offense, just to be an offensive guy and not to worry about running the team. I think that really could benefit Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, and look, Kyler is a different size than Jaden Daniels. I mean, you talked about his frame, and everybody's talked about his frame, but he's also nearly 6'4". And, you know, and Bryce Young, you mentioned him last year, Kyler Murray, those are tinier quarterbacks. So I am curious as to, you've got Washington taking Daniels at 2 in your latest mock draft. What are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is Daniels and McCarthy are the two to watch. I'm not hearing a lot about May. And I think that my guess is they're locked in on who they're going to take. I'd be shocked if they're not. I don't think you're going to play any games with that number two spot unless, you know, unless you get intel on other teams. You know, if you do like McCarthy, maybe you say, look, we'll trade out of here. We'll go 2 to 11. And then you take those two first-round picks from Minnesota, and then you aggressively move back up to number 4 with Monty Austin Ford, or maybe number 5 with the Chargers, and you look at a quarterback there again. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Cliff Kingsbury loves Michael Penix, and if he loves Michael Penix, then all bets are off that they could move out of number 2 and go draft Michael Penix sometime in the first round while picking up an extra draft pick. So, you know, that's the fun of the draft, and especially this year's quarterback classes. Once you get past Caleb and to me, Jaden, but, you know, for each team his own, I really have a hard time figuring out what 3, 4, and 5 is going to look like from a quarterback standpoint because, you know, talking to some sources, I guess Penix has kind of created some late heat and some teams and quarterback coaches, offense coordinators are really, you know, falling in love with some of the potential of Penix being able to push the ball vertically and having a more attack-oriented offense. So J.J. McCarthy is a huge wild card, and I think Michael Penix is developing into a wild card.
What do you think of Penix, Jr.?
Wouldn't take until like 3rd. I mean, for me, the 4 season-ending injuries back-to-back-to-back-to-back bothers me. I know the last 2 years at Washington, he's been healthy. He doesn't throw well on the move. His completion percentage is like in the mid-20% range. And, you know, I had somebody from his agency said, well, Lance, he throws the ball away all the time. And that's true. He does throw it away. But, you know, at some point you got to try to make plays or make something positive happen instead of just throwing it away. But some of it's just bad accuracy. I watch the tape, and sometimes the accuracy is just not great. You know, for me, Penix had a lot of throws where you just throw it up there and let – guys like McMillan, Polk, and Adunze go make plays. And he doesn't take many sacks, but part of that reason is because he's willing just to throw it up. And you can't just – that's not something you can do in the NFL and win. You can't just throw it up and let guys go in 50-50s. It's going to be a lot tougher. So, for me, Michael Penix's injury history and some of his inconsistencies when he's forced to move his feet bothers me. It kind of bothers me a little bit.
Lance Zierlein is joining us. I just want to make sure that, you know, you've got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. You've got Daniels much closer to Williams than you do whomever you have 3rd. But 3rd, you have who?
3rd, I know you've mocked Drake May,
but who do you like?
Caleb Williams, I have a 6'7", 4", and Daniels, I have a 6'7", 3". They're basically, and the next quarterback on the list is Drake May at a 65, but that's my boom or bust grade. So, you know, basically, I would almost rather draft J.J. McCarthy than Drake May. And J.J. McCarthy, to me, is a borderline first rounder in most drafts. And then it goes Bo Nix and then Penix.
You've already alluded to this. Washington's got a ton of draft capital. They've got six picks in the top 100. In your mock, you've got them moving back into the first round. We've talked about that as a possibility. Tell everybody for whom.
Let me see. Who did I have?
Remember?
I believe Jordan. Was it Jordan Morgan?
No, you had him drafting the Georgia tackle, Mims.
Oh, Amarius Mims, yeah. Because Mims could fall a little bit because there's he's missed some football. If teams get a little worried about, locker room personality or injury history, he could fall a little bit. But if you're Washington, he's got the talent that might make it worth your time to jump up and draft him because he is one of the top seven tackles on the board in what is the deepest tackle draft I've seen in a long time. So, yeah, I've got them moving back up and taking a kind of a plug and play right tackle. There's going to be some bumps in the road early on, as there is for most offensive linemen, but you could do a lot worse in drafting Amarius Mims from Georgia. So I do believe they'll be aggressive this year with draft capital in terms of addressing that offensive line. You almost have to.
Is there any chance later in the first round Chop Robinson's available and that Washington would be interested?
Well, how late are we talking about?
At post 25, something where they can get in with giving up just one of their second round picks with a third or a fourth or a fifth or something like that.
There's a chance. Yeah, I think you'd need Xavier Thomas, Xavier Worthy rather, from University of Texas to go earlier. You need Brian Thomas. You need a run at a certain position. So if you had cornerbacks get drafted a little bit earlier, like who's pushing him down? Well, you'd have to have a cornerback. You'd have to have Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry probably go ahead of him. You'd need that run on offensive tackles where they all go fairly early. You want Graham Barton to go ahead of him. And, I could see it. I could see it. But you'd have to have runs on certain positions, probably two positions, for him to get to the point that he made it past 25, 26. But I certainly think it's possible.
Who's his comp,
Lance? He's a rare tester, but
Lance,
the production's just not there.
Does he comp to somebody like Parsons or not?
Yeah, he comps to Parsons athletically and explosiveness. Big-time comp. Rare explosiveness. The problem is he doesn't know how to rush yet. So, but that doesn't bother me because all you got to do is work on your hands, get with a good coach who can teach you, and frankly, good players, good teammates who can work with you on a two-hand slap, who can work with you on an inside spin move. Route running and learning to use your hands with pass rushes, I think that can come. When you have the rare get-off and ability to bend and corner, like he has things that could make him a terror like you saw with Von Miller. He has some of the same athletic attributes as Von Miller, only the explosiveness of, frankly, a Micah Parsons. So right now it's just a matter of having more reps and learning how to play the position. And it's going to come, but, there is a learning curve there. And there is, frankly, a little bit lower floor when you have a guy that has such little polish coming into the league and is all traits.
Yeah, you've been so generous with your time. Last one. You've done this forever. Do you remember this? I know the NFL just continues to become the behemoth and just bigger each year. But I don't remember a draft more anticipated than this one. And I think it's because of the quarterbacks. But what do you say?
Yeah, I think, it's not the best draft we've seen. But from an anticipatory standpoint, yeah, because – I think people who are in the space or who really pay attention to the draft is, even though you say Caleb Williams is a guy, we're not sure what happens after that with quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks go early. And then for me, it's about, well, who's the first wide receiver off the board? And where do these three wide receivers get slotted? Because a lot of teams have different slottings on the big three themselves. And, when does the offensive tackle run start, and when does the pass rush run start, and when does the cornerback run? Because those are all three going to be groups that have a high number of players drafted in the first round. Brock Bowers, this guy is one of the most productive tight ends that we've seen in college. Where does Brock Bowers go? Is he Aaron Rodgers' new target, a new toy that Aaron Rodgers can play with now that the Jets have handled a lot of their you know, their issues through free agency. So, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that this is so anticipated, because there's a lot of question marks about who goes where. But also, for me, the anticipation of the flow of the draft. How is this draft going to flow? Which position? Could there be a player like Chop Robinson that falls? You know, who's the player that's going to fall? And then you have medicals with Latu, and you have, you know, you have certain guys that you just don't know how teams see their medicals. And we're talking about high-impact players.
Well, Latu could really be a high-impact player, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. It's much appreciated. I really enjoyed it.
You got it. Had a good time. Thank you.
Yep, Lance Zierlein, everybody, from NFL.com, NFL Network, at Lance Zierlein, Zierlein, on X. We'll follow up on that when we come back. Chase Hughes will join us at 12:35. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.